Simple little song about God making a way. We're going to be starting out in Ecclesiastes 3, and we're going to talk about handling change. It's all about that. Now listen, there's a lot of not change going on as well, because we will be coming together for worship, if you are able, as we begin to look at the church is already on the market, but as what's going to happen to the building and the property, we'll continue to meet here for that worship, as Richard said so well. And that, but for a lot of us here, and this is not, don't put down at all, but since worship is where you, when you come and you're here for that 1 hour, nothing's really going to change in that sense. I mean, you're going to be here, Lord willing, at that time, unless, of course, you've found other places to go, which is something you probably should be looking at as well. So there may be times when you would be wise to be elsewhere. But while we're here, we'll do that. Now, just for some of our guys in here, I got to looking around and thinking, there's probably 7 to 10 of us who could come up here during this particular time during the worship service and present some kind of a 10, 15, 20-minute lesson. Even just reading scriptures. Paul wrote to Timothy and told him to let there be reading of scripture. And so sometimes just taking a chapter in the Bible and reading it and not saying much more than that, perhaps a few thoughts. But if not, just reading is fine. And so we're hoping that many of you men will step forward and say, yeah, I'll be willing to share a 10, 15, 20-minute spot. And, of course, I will, too. And so we'll be doing that as we go along. But handling change is what it's all about today, and I'd like to spend some time on that. And thanks for the songs, Richard. Some of those songs were just right on. I mean, especially at the beginning. They all were. But, I mean, right at the beginning, exactly what needed to be said in song. So thank God for that. But let's begin with a word of prayer. I want to pray about change and God giving us the wisdom in that. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for our church here. We know, Father, that our whole life is full of change, and here is one of them that is upon us as we look at our congregation. And we know that changes are going to happen in all of our lives, have been happening. But we pray, Father, that you'll give us the peace and the patience that we need as we go through these changes, and understand that changes can be a very positive and wonderful thing. And so, Father, we help us to handle the times when they're not, but Lord, we know many times change can be very good for all of us as we go through so many, that your word even reminds us that life is all about change. And so, Father, help us to handle that change as we should as your children. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen. If you were to just pause for a minute and think about changes in your own life, you would just probably run out. You would not run out of time. I mean, you would be able to continue and continue and continue and continue. Talk about all the changes that have happened in your life, you know. And of course, you could. Those of you that have been with this congregation for many, many years, you go back through the history and you can see the changes that took place with the Church of Christ here in Hyde Park. And many wonderful people have come and gone that you still have in your heart and memory, and times. When we first came, I remember when the pews were not crooked like this. They were straight, and they were close together, which was really good, because that indicated the congregation here used to pack those pews. And many of you have told me that story about that, and that this was a of our fellowship of the Churches of Christ, a really a premier church here in Austin, still is, as far as I'm concerned, with the, you know, the people that I've come to know over the last half a dozen years. No, 16 years. Somebody says, well, that's too long. You know, well, yes, no, maybe not. But at any rate, I want to share some things. Just read a couple of scriptures, first of all. And if you want to read along, Ecclesiastes 3 is where we'll be. We'll jump over to Isaiah 43, but no real need to change there, because I just want to share a couple of verses there. I'll just read them out. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3, about change, believe it or not, chapter 3, verse 1, and we'll read through 9. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted, and a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What profit, he asked the question, is there to the worker from that in which he toils? As we live out this life, he's asking that question to us. What profit are all of these things in our life as they change us? Well, if nothing else, just to realize and recognize that such is life. And here Solomon has been given this great wisdom to write this book and the book of Proverbs as well and other. But here in Ecclesiastes, he's used his time at this point to think about all the changes that take place in life. And you've been through some of these things. Of course, the first one, a time to give birth or be born. And then, of course, a time to die. We've known that. We've experienced that, all of us, in our families and friends. And we see that happening sometimes. And all through the list. And I'm not going to go through the list. But so many wonderful things that are happening that are good and some things not so good. But they're just really part of life. Life is just full of change. And so we're just experiencing a part of what's normal. Things are going to change in your life. It comes to mind immediately without me thinking. It's not in something I thought ahead of time, but my change is, so I was retiring as a preacher, but I'll still be preaching occasionally. But there's going to be changes in that pattern, and you can pick something right now in your life, right now. That you're going through that is a change, other than this, of course. Of course, 14 things he gives us, pairs, and I just want to read this next part because it adds to it. Solomon says in verse 10, I have seen this task which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. So, kind of in essence, Solomon is saying to us, the changes sometimes are part of helping us as we live out our lives to occupy ourselves. There are times when you were young and you occupied yourself with what young people do, and then you became a teenager, and then a young adult, and then a middle-ager, and some of you, and older, even beyond that, some of us. You're occupied then with things in your life at that time that you remember and that you maybe are experiencing even now. Verse 11, he has made everything appropriate or beautiful, another translation says, in its time. Each part of your life, each part has an appropriateness to it and a beauty in it alone. You know, think again when you were a young person, and of course some of you still are, but I mean when you were, those of us, most of us, when you were a young person, you know, wonderful things, beautiful things to do and enjoy that part of life. So much so that later on in Ecclesiastes, Solomon kind of cautions on looking back too fondly in the past. You know, I mean, how many of us haven't been a little bit nostalgic, wishing you could go back to that time? And of course the truth is you can't go back. And even if you go back to where you were at that time, everything's changed. It's not the same. And yet, during the time that you went through those things, that was the beautiful time in your life. But now is too, and I think that's another point. Everything in its appropriate time has some beauty in it. Here's something else, though. He has also set eternity in our heart. And so even though we're living in this physical world that has all these changes and heads toward a final period, an ending, which is our death, which he starts with, a time to give birth and a time to die, this life finally comes to an end. But God has put in our hearts the fact that don't worry, that it doesn't end. It goes on, but not here anymore. And that's eternity. You will be in eternity with the Lord. And he's put that in our hearts. So there are some people who are not religious at all, and yet there's that something in their hearts where they know there's something beyond them. And they may scoff, they may dismiss it, but I think that's only on the surface. In their deeper mind, they know good and well that there is an eternity. And that's what he's saying here. So in spite of all the changes in life that sometimes makes us just see only life itself, he wants us to know that we can see beyond, and we know that there's more to that. So verse 12, finally, I know that there is nothing better for them. So this is our lesson, to rejoice and to do good in one's lifetime. I like that little, that's kind of like the message, the lesson. Though there's so many changes in life, and there's a time for every event in your life, God has put eternity in your heart, but at the same time he's told you, so in the meantime, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to, it's good for you to, nothing better for you to do than to rejoice and to do good. Wherever you are in your life is a good time to be in your life. And there may be things that aren't good in your life at that time, but nevertheless, it's a good thing. And he goes on, you know, other things we won't do. But what I want to share then with you is one more verse and then get to the lessons very quickly for you. Isaiah 43:18-19 is a messianic verse. It has to do with the coming Messiah. And so as I do in my Bible when I take notes, might be a good practice for you, when you read scriptures that you know in the Old Testament are about the Messiah, many times they're quoted in the New Testament, especially Matthew, put a little box M, put an M and put a box around it next to it. You're basically reminding yourself, this is a messianic passage. Well, this is one, Isaiah 43:18-19. He says, we're not going to expand beyond that to the verses before and below, but when you do, you'll see even more how it fits. But he says, do not call to mind former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new, and now it will spring forth. And he's looking ahead to two things. The first one is he's writing to the people who were in Babylonian captivity. And they were looking in their minds in captivity to their time when they lived in Israel. And they had their homes and their lives. And suddenly they've been uprooted in captivity and they're now in Babylon. And he says, don't go back and look at your past. I wish you could go back to that, because I'm doing something that's going to be new in your future. Now, again, on the first level to the Babylon, to them in the captivity, he's letting them know that you're going to go home eventually. I'm going to lead you back home again. But all of that is a picture for us, an Old Testament picture, a lived out picture of what's happening with the coming of Jesus Christ, something new. And that something new is salvation through by faith in Jesus Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross, and of course his resurrection. And our faith, and then our obedience to that faith and living out our lives, God is giving us something new. He's going to make us new creatures as we as we give our lives to Him, and then eventually a new life in heaven that is an eternal life. And so He promises that for us. There's a change coming. It's already happened with Jesus on the cross, but it hasn't fully come. It'll come at the coming of Christ and our resurrection and our eternal life. But let me share just three lessons to learn from this topic, just change and handling change. And one of them is to say that change is inevitable. We've been saying that already. Kind of a no duh, you know, it is inevitable. The things are going to happen. You can't get out of, if you want to live back in your life when you were, say, a teenager again and you had all that freedom and you could get it was so much fun growing up and having a good time. But eventually, you're going to have to straighten up and fly right, my parents used to say. You know, you're going to have to go live out your life and provide for yourself and maybe marry or whatever, you know, find jobs and do different things. Life's just a series of that. Again, aging, relationships, health, culture. Culture is changing like crazy, always has and always will. We think right now it's going to be like this the rest of our lives, but just watch it change. If you live long enough, you'll be telling your young people around you that, oh, I remember when, you know, XYZ, you know, fill in the blank, you know, like I've done before. And how many of you remember standing in a phone booth where the door opens and closes and through glass? You know, some of you remember that? Yeah, they don't have that anymore. Have you noticed that? Things change, and it's inevitable. And one thing that came to mind that I thought about was, it just came to mind this week, and I thought, wow, that's a kind of a neat thing. When I used to go stay with my grandparents in Beeville, Texas, they actually had milk delivered to their doorstep. Did you know that? I mean, now they're doing it again now, you know, because you can order food now, and suddenly food's being delivered, including milk. But that was a pattern of life back then, that people had milk delivered periodically. And it was usually in glass bottles, not cardboard containers, glass bottles. And then you would leave the glass bottles out on the front porch, and they would pick them up. And so there were milk trucks that went around town. Well, before the milk truck was the milk wagon. Now, I won't ask how many of you remember that, because the milk trucks began something in the 1930s or something like that. So most of us probably have only seen that in a movie or pictures of the old times back then. But milk was delivered daily because nobody had refrigerators. And so naturally milk was processed each day and then delivered. And so the milk wagons went around. And so that process kept on until about the 1960s, where, of course, prior to that, they had changed to trucks and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's just inevitable that things change. And that's an example of it. And anything could be. We've talked about telephones, for crying out loud, folks. Used to have on the wall, and it rang, it was in the middle of the house, and somebody would yell, "I'll get it." And they would go get the phone, you know. You remember that? Oh, it's for you, you know. And then you had to come get the receiver. And not anymore. Everybody has their own phone right now. Right now, where we sit, every one of you has a telephone. If you don't, raise your hand. Oh, Mark doesn't. Mark, you're just not. It's in the car? Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, at least technically, you have a phone. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry to get on and on and on that. But just to say, it's inevitable. And it is. All the change is. And even what churches go through. And you can watch this on the news, get on YouTube. There are things on other fellowships, other denominations are going through the same process. And it's not that people are not going to church anymore. This is something I learned recently, that actually there's a high number of people, younger people now, that are really showing interest in church. But they're looking at it in a different way. They're looking for some kind of a mid-level congregation. The mega church thing has kind of begun to wane. And instead of going to some big mega church with all the fog machines and flashing lights and that sort of thing, you know, they're looking for congregations to be a part of. So there's things that are changing that in churches that can be good things. Number two is that change can be uncomfortable. And that's something, of course. It brings some uncertainty. I think this change here for us is kind of uncomfortable. We don't exactly know. We've already talked about it. When things might happen, when the church might, the property might sell, and the church, you know, has to come to an end as far as a congregation. And in the meantime, some of you, again, like I said, may find places in. And so our numbers may change a little bit, but there's some discomfort and things. I mean, Israel is a good example of uncomfortable change. When Jesus came, they weren't ready for Jesus. And the whole Old Testament thing they had studied, they had talked about, probably walking along, talking about the Messiah. It's going to be wonderful when this Messiah comes. Well, the Messiah suddenly did come, and they didn't recognize him. And they didn't, and all the leaders in that time felt threatened by Jesus. So there's that discomfort that they went through of having to adjust to this new reality of the Messiah coming. We've been studying John's Gospel in our Bible class on Sunday morning, which we'll finish up next week. And I may transfer it some into our preaching time, but the changes and the turmoil that went on with Jesus coming is a good example of the discomfort. But again, our congregation and the change is another one. And here's the last, the third one that change can transform us, and that's a positive thing. I mean, if we let it, it can transform us. God has plans for you. He knows the day of your dying. He already knows that. We don't, but He does. And everything else in our life, He knows. And I'm not trying to say you're not in control, but in some way God is kind of shepherding you through your life, and certain things happen to you. But as you change, God's purpose is for you to grow. Grow spiritually. Sometimes difficult things happen to you to teach you patience, to teach you trust in God. Other times great things happen in order to just bring pleasure to you, but also to people around you as you can share things. And surely God's behind that. And I believe He is. But we have to go through some different things for us to grow. Good example in the Bible would be Joseph's life, and put into slavery in Egypt, and then eventually rose to be second to the king of Egypt. And, of course, God intended that. But the difficulties that he went through to get there are what I want you to see. It transformed him and gave him something in life. All right, so let's let that lesson be yours, and here's what I want to say just to kind of apply it to us. As we go through this change, number one, bring your cares to God, your concerns about change, even this change that we're talking about. Pray for yourself and for others around you as we go through this change. You know, go to God about this. Don't just wrestle with it yourself. Number two, ask God what He might be trying to teach you or do for you and in your prayers. Number three, don't face change alone. We are a community. And you have your own personal families. And so talk about these things with each other, about the change that we're going through. But just change in general again. Don't want to just make it about this church, but also just in our lives. Don't face change alone. And be with family. That's why the Bible, church family too, that's why the Bible calls it fellowship. Talk to another fellow. Male or female, other fellows, and fellowship with them about your feelings and that. And then number four, trust in God. And whatever happens, surely God has a plan. One last scripture in the lessons here is Jesus is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. And so all those things change in our lives, and change is inevitable. And it's uncomfortable. but it can transform us. Nevertheless, Jesus and God and Jesus, God Jesus, is eternal, and he never changes. And so we can latch on to that, because we're going to be there with him someday, and then it'll be eternal. A wonderful life. We're going to experience change, but we've got a Lord who will never change, and we can trust in that. Let's close now with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing a song. Thank you, God, for all the change you give us in our lives. Again, we ask you to help us as we go through it, to guide us in all the changes in our lives. Help us to just see the things that happen, that there are changes, and to accept them, embrace them, and know that you have a plan in our lives. Bless us now as we go from this church family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.